Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Friday edition. We made it all the way to the weekend, TGIF. I am here in the Shaw with you, Fancy Brian. I feel quite special being here. And I see, can people hear me now? Great. And I see Evan there in the world headquarters in Madison, lightly screening your phone calls, 844-967-2789. So we're doing the TGIF. And if you hadn't noticed, also here in the Shaw, each Friday night, we're doing the Friday Night Live. So Rocker and the Connor and the team, they're going to be doing it live from the streets, downtown Waukesha, starting at 6 o'clock. But in the interim, let's do a little politic and let's air some grievances up around here. And the start point, Fancy Brian, first and foremost, I'm so freaking selfish. I don't know if I've ever allowed... Do you have a grievance from the top? I don't know if I've ever allowed you to lead the grievances.
No, I'm good, man. Right now, I'm pretty good. I'm recovering from the show before, and I'm good. Other than when this wonderful orange soda making me a little warm.
Is it Fanta?
I believe it's the Sunkist.
The Sunkist. Okay, that's one of your finer orange flavors.
All right, you got me there. I now have a grievance.
What's that?
There's not enough Faygo in this part of the state.
Come on, man. More Faygo.
We need more Faygo.
Fancy Brian, here's what I would say. Remember when all the Ron Johnsons of the world talked about the Capitol insurrectionist? It's like tourists, just friendly, fun-loving people come together for, warm, happy, common good. And we have seen some differing politifacts. We've seen some differing accounts. Oh, there were no armed people in the audience. There were no armed insurrectionists.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
Yeah, that's what we've heard guys like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson say. But, one guy today had to make some statements, or he made some statements. In fact, he was charged. U.S. Capitol rioter who carried a weapon loaded with hollow point bullets pled guilty today. So I guess he's pleading guilty to the charges. Guilty. Here's the more troubling part to my interpretation, Fancy Brian. A January 6, 2021, CNN, my source, the gentleman, air quotes, named Mark Mazza, M-A-Z-Z-A. The January 6, 2021 writer pled guilty Friday to carrying a loaded firearm on U.S. Capitol grounds and assaulting police officers with one of their own batons during the insurrection. Mark Mazza, who told federal investigators he regretted not seeing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi during the riot and that he would be here for another reason.
Great.
Presumably murder, right? I mean, when the guy's calling it out on himself, when he's telling the FBI, hey, man, if I'd have seen Nancy, you'd be arresting me for a different reason. I took that as a implicated threat. An implied threat. If he had. Now, Mazza faces a maximum of 20 years for assaulting the officers with a dangerous weapon. Maybe they should throw a few more charges at this guy. According to the plea agreement, Mazza, 57, carried a revolver loaded with shotgun and hollow point rounds in a holster under his shirt during the Stop the Steal rally on the Capitol grounds that day. Republican lawmakers and conservative allies have often falsely claimed that no weapons were brought to the Capitol to argue the attack was not the violent insurrection that it was. As it lost the weapon on Capitol grounds sometime before walking to the Lower West Terrace Tunnel, where rioters were battling police officers, according to the plea. So he brought a weapon with hollow point bullets, and he promptly dropped the weapon in the mob. You know, so not a secured firearm, apparently. Inside the tunnel, Mazza held open a door against police officers as other rioters using flagpoles, batons, sticks, and stolen law enforcement shields as weapons to strike at hit and try to force their way through the police line, the plea agreement states. So this is what he's confessed to. This is part of the plea agreement. He then stole a police officer's baton and used it against the officers guarding the tunnel entrance. Mazza originally denied assaulting officers, even saying he assisted them out of the building. Come here. Let me help you out with my baton as I whack you upside the head. Despite video footage of him swinging a baton in a battle with police, he drove home to Indiana after the riot with the stolen baton in his possession. Possession's 9/10 of the law, right, Fancy Brian? You know, if I had a murder weapon, I might throw it in the ocean. I know, you know, driving back to Indiana, he may not cross an ocean, but he probably crossed a few rivers.
Well, that's if you assume that what you did was wrong.
Mazza was recorded in multiple videos saying, "We own this house." So I'm not sure that he's, you know, feeling particularly guilty, let's just say, although he did plead to the charges. Federal investigators found Mazza after he falsely reported the weapon he brought to the riot was stolen on January 8th, 2021. Now, you know, the other day I told this story. I went on Fox News. I got myself all fired up and I forgot my wallet. And it wasn't, you know, an hour or two later when I, you know, wanted to stop somewhere, get something, said, "Oh, where's my wallet? Oh, I've lost my wallet." But I didn't call the cops and say I lost my wallet 2 days later. If you lose your gun at the mob riot, at the insurrection, you know, do you really call it in stolen, period? Or do you just call it a day? So I wonder how the cops got this guy's name. Do you think maybe by calling in the lost weapon, he put himself, you know, in the police, what do they call it, in the sights?
Again, he's thinking that he is exercising his constitutional right to the Second Amendment at that time. So he's probably saying, "They better give me my gun back."
Well, let me clarify the point. That is how they found him. Federal investigators found Mazza after he falsely reported the weapon he'd brought to the riot was stolen on January 2021. Not a clever guy, this one. Claiming it was taken from his car at an Ohio casino. He later told investigators he fabricated the claim because he feared members of Antifa might find the gun and his name was all over it. What, he drew his name on the gun? Do people do that? Do they, you know, tattoo their guns?
I wouldn't be surprised if he got like a mini bumper sticker or a bunch of them to put on his gun.
You know, we've got mini stickers from the Shaw. You can get them at Friday Night Live. You can put them on your radio. We're giving away radios. Just, you know, give us some way to contact you if you win, and you can register for a radio, and the radio is going to have our name all over it. We're going to have the Shaw sticker. But do you get like the, you know, the things at home? My mom had them when I was a kid. You print out the individual letters. It's like pa-chunk, pa-chunk, pa-chunk. You know, you could spell stuff out, and you put the strips, you cut the strip, you put it on, you know, this is my bike, Rudy's bike, or whatever. Oh, you got one. What's that thing called? You got? Oh,
I have a label maker.
That is a
we
modern.
Have, I'm sorry, we have a label maker. Oh. Wonderful Brady label maker.
Would you call it our time, Mr. Hand?
Either way, I complain a lot about the time that I worked at the grocery store and things like that. One of my favorite times was just doing all the labels in the morning. You get the new labels. You get to go put out the. I don't know why.
Like the prices, like
yeah, it really
69 cents for bananas. So.
Yeah, but if it went up to like 65 cents, I would be the like. For the liquor department, I get them new labels every day. You know, they change prices and stuff. I would love to go and change those things. It's a function of it that really worked for me. Anyway, now, I'm into the label maker.
If you had a handgun with hollow point bullets and you were illegally participating in an insurrection, let's just say, at the U.S. Capitol, and you took the same aforementioned weapon with you, Would you want to make sure you had your label maker? If you would, you have Maz's revolver on there, Maz's gun, Maz's replacement penis, any of those sort of things?
I would think that he'd at least, you know, carve it into there, or like maybe get a wood handle or wood stock that he just carved it into. What kind of a gun is this? Is it a revolver? A
revolver.
Okay.
Apparently, revolver. They did say that. Revolver with hollow point bullets. Republican lawmakers and conservatives have falsely claimed that no weapons were brought to the Capitol. I think I'm being redundant, but Maza did bring a weapon to the Capitol, and of course, he was worried, you know, if he didn't call it in falsely, if he didn't make a false claim to the FBI, well, the Antifa would find his weapon. Because even though he was there, he was buying into the further conspiracy. It wasn't actually him that was the insurrectionist. It was some freaking Antifa. And they were going to find his gun with his label maker, Maz's, you know, replacement penis on there.
Well, he was being taken. He was being swept away with all the Antifa people. He couldn't possibly have left them, possibly leave the gun for them.
And therefore, the false claim to the FBI is the reason he was picked up and charged with charges that subsequently could lead to sentencing of up to 20 years. And he also said to those very same federal investigators, if I'd have just bumped into Nancy Pelosi, I'd have presumably shot her ass. You know, not the smartest of criminals. You know, he was wearing like a...
I have a feeling she would have just looked at him and gone boo, and he would have screamed and run away.
You know, this man, he's sort of a thick dude, you know. We're both thick guys, but...
He would have wiled away. A
little
not
thicker
run.
Than I, maybe a little less thick than you. You're a bigger man than I. Some glasses, you know. A little bit of facial hair, kind of graying. 57, 58? And then
was he a white dude?
Oh, shocker.
I just need to check. I wasn't sure.
He was a white guy. And, you know, he was a MAGA. How do you know this? Sleeveless American flag wife beater style t-shirt.
He could be a St. Louis Cardinals fan. You never know.
Come on. That's not go Cardinals. That's go shoot Nancy Pelosi.
There's a Venn diagram there, buddy.
Yeah. And it's Cardinals fans, insurrectionists, and those with replacement penis label maker guns.
You pretty know, much.
It's Friday. We air the grievances. I led with mine. You can lead with yours at 844-967-2789. More devils. We'll be right back.
Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or woman. Put your name on it.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
We've included a Venn.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the devil's advocates radio show. We made it all the way to Friday, people. Coming up, Friday Night Live, live from the Shaw. I'm broadcasting live from the Shaw headquarters right here, beautiful Waukesha. It's a glorious day. It will be a great night to come out and party. Rocker and the boys, they're going to do it like we do it every Friday night, all summer long, right here, live from Waukesha. But this show ain't even close to being done. We're going to take your Friday grievances at 844-967-2789. Greg called early. So, Greg, you're the first one on today. What do you got for us?
Hey boys. How you guys doing today?
Excellent, sir.
Pretty nice out there. Got to find yourself a good beer garden tonight.
The whole of downtown Waukesha will be a nice beer garden tonight, man. I don't know if you ever tried the Friday Night Live. It's a great thing, Greg. You should sneak down to Waukesha some night.
Oh, I don't know about going in the enemy camp there. I don't know.
Come on, man. We got a foxhole right here on Wisconsin Avenue. You can come party with the boys here.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I should do, yeah. But, you know, have you guys thought too much or thought about the end game here yet and what should happen? I mean, when Nixon was, you know, resigned, he was forced to resign and then pardoned. But, you know, Trump's already out. Biden ain't going to pardon him.
There's not going to be a pardon, Greg, right?
Right. But are you barring him from running for office? Are you going to say that he can't be appointed to, you know what I mean, to a position in government, you know? because I thought I heard something where you could appoint anybody Speaker of the House. You don't have to be a... Am I wrong on that?
No, Greg, you're absolutely right. You do not have to be a congressional member to be Speaker of the House. And there are specific congresspeople, think Matt Gaetz, that are advocating specifically, if they win back the House of Representatives, to put Trump in that position. That would put him third in line to the presidency. Technically, yeah, so, second in line.
Right. You know, and that how awful is that? And
And the idea would be is that they would then lead the impeachment against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And theoretically, were it successful in the Senate, and it would not be. But, you know, if you did the math and played it out, well, hell, they could put Trump back into power in the line of succession.
Right. Yeah. They'll try anything. We know that. But the end game here is to not have him be able to run for president again and not be able to be, you know, whatever you want to call it, appointed to a high office. Or
Greg, the end game should be prison for this freaking guy. The guy plotted a coup against the U.S. government, sir.
Right. The least it would be that he can't, you know, be running, you know, be in office anymore or hold any kind of position of power. Secondly, would be, you know, I don't know, a fine. Third would be in jail.
Well, the fine. Let's go there for a minute, Greg. There will be civil lawsuits that chase this man for the rest of his life. And part of the civil lawsuits is officers like Fallone. There's also a contingent of U.S. Congress people. They were also had their lives threatened at the U.S. Capitol that day. If Donald Trump and the burden of proof is going to be less in these civil trials, if you'll recall, O.J. Simpson got off on the criminal stuff, but the civil stuff, the fines, the Goldman family chased his ass to the end of time. O.J.'s still running through airports to try and get away from those civil forfeiture kind of things. So I think Donald Trump's going to get bled broke. I think his brand is so freaking tarnished. I don't see, you know, other than the grifting of his lemming-like followers that continue to send him donations so he can then turn around and, keep the donations, effectively keep people's money. I mean, he has committed fraud on a massive level, on a $250 million level. Greg, I cannot imagine, and I think he will run for president again. Dom and I completely disagree on this point. I think he's going to do it because he sees it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. I think he will be unsuccessful because I think justice will catch up to him.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope he does run again and I hope he does get beat. But, you know, he can't be allowed to get away with what he's doing here. There's got to be a penalty involved with this. And I haven't heard any other Republican senators comment about what's going on yet. Have you guys heard anything like from the...
Oh, they're all pretending like they're blissfully unaware of what's going on, especially if they're appearing on Fox News, Greg. Appreciate your call. Thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates. You can be like Greg at 844-967-2789. I believe I saw some quotes, although I didn't really dig beyond the headlines. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, said something to the effect, I remember when I used to be scared of Trump. When he used to be scared of Trump.
Used to be?
You know, wanted to get to another story in this segment. Peter Navarro. We've talked about the January 6th coup. Peter Navarro was one of the coup plotters. And Peter Navarro effectively wrote a book. He went on Ari Melber. He's made public confessions. I mean, I think he's in tremendous legal jeopardy. It's being described as a slow-rolling comedy sketch, though. His interactions with the criminal justice system. First, Navarro was going to be his own lawyer. And then he showed up with some lawyers because he had a court appearance today. And he wants to put off his trial on contempt of Congress charges. But do you see why, Fancy Brand, what his explanation is?
Was it like me where my grandmother died?
Well, his explanation is he's got a big book tour.
Oh, so no, not like that.
So could you take me to trial next year, because I'm going to be very, very busy selling the coup, the inside story on Amazon, a book tour, a magical mystery tour, Peter Navarro style.
Think that would have worked for OJ?
Do you think these guys don't quite understand the sort of legal jeopardy they might be in? Come back with us. It's the Friday edition, the TGIF Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. Join us. Dial us up, 844-96-PARTY. It's a political party up in here.
We will find you. We will arrest you. We will jail you. We will throw you the hell out of the country.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%. I must have
dreamed a thousand dreams. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the TGIF edition. That's when we air the grievances up around here at 844-967-2789. I believe young Dominic, the birthday week boy, Dominic joins a little bit later at 4. And I believe Jim Santel is also going to try to call in. And you know, Fancy Brian, Jim Santel's outstate. He's teaching some young kids, like high school age kids, civics lessons in the Eau Claire part of the state of Wisconsin where I live. And you know what Jim is fascinated by today? The lack of stable internet connection in a relatively large metropolis within the state of Wisconsin. I tried to make this point earlier today. I probably am a little better traveled than some of my friends. I've been all around the state. And I try to call, I mean, I like work the phones constantly. And that's what I do. I call friends, call enemies, call everybody. I just work the phones. And there are so many places in the state of Wisconsin, you can't even get a clear cell phone signal. And, you know, here in I'm just outside Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm in a big suitcase community, Waukesha, and I live in Madison or the Madison area. We've all got great internet, or at least the ability to access it with enough money, let's just say. So if you buy a fiber, if you buy a big pipe, you can have great internet. But there are some places not that far from here, a couple hours away, it's not even available at that sort of speed. There's not a reliable way to deliver things like streaming video. Well, I get my news now from streaming video. I cut the cable a couple years ago. But without the streaming video, you know what? I'm stuck with CBS, ABC, and NBC, and maybe PBS and Fox, right? Those are the only ones that are consistently in every market. So, you know, it becomes a news desert out there. And it really speaks to the importance, and I know I'm kind of self-serving in saying this, to the importance of radio. Free delivery of radio. If your internet is not reliable, you still depend on the radio. And here in the state of Wisconsin, I know this, and I'll tell you why someday soon. But I know that radio is still a viable medium because it's the only way to get the word out across the state. So anyways, every time I tell you about the 81 right-wing talk radio stations and all the Christian stations in the state of Wisconsin, just understand they are changing the media environment here in the state of Wisconsin day by day, week by week. And now suddenly, you know, in a glacial sort of way, we're going to push back. We're going to keep changing and pushing back against the concept that we have ceded the airwaves to the right. So anyways, I don't know why I went there, Fancy Brian. Other than the fact, Jim Santel will call in if he can get a good damn cell signal. Otherwise, he's like an Eau Claire people, and he can't get one.
Just a real quick point about that is that imagine going around every day and having spotty cell service all the time. You want to go and check out the things that everybody else that you know or your friends are talking. You finally get a call from them. I want to go and check out the things online. You can't.
The pandemic camper, yeah. My wife bought and eventually sold because the pandemic hopefully is over, knock on wood. But you couldn't get cell phone up there.
Yeah.
Imagine, not worth a damn. You couldn't pull the news up.
Now for us going up north and all that stuff, it's wonderful to unplug. It's
buddy,
such a nice thing and all that stuff.
20 minutes outside Madison.
But my point is, imagine that's a lot of the people in the state of Wisconsin. And imagine how overlooked you feel. Imagine how completely ignored you feel just in general not being able to have access to the same type of thing that the rest of the world kind of has. Really easy to go and take advantage of somebody who feels that aggrieved and feels that left out. And when you the only clear message you have is a bunch of right-wing talk radio stations, it's a lot easier to see how that slides that way.
Well, Scott Walker pitted rural Wisconsin against urban and metropolitan Wisconsin. You know, don't let Wisconsin become Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee's an economic engine for this state. For every dollar Milwaukee, this city, I guess we're not in Milwaukee. Trump came to Waukesha. He claimed it as Milwaukee, but you get the point.
You're drinking Milwaukee water, though.
Are we?
Yeah, they won the contract.
Oh, I forgot about that. I thought Foxconn stole all the water.
They're still
or
doing
might
that
if they ever manufactured anything down there. At the well,
either quarter. Way, they got a straw in the lake.
Anyways, Fancy Brian, if there's any point I'm making, I guess it's just that. The state of Wisconsin, I'm going to use some labor stats just for a minute. State of Wisconsin has a very high labor participation rate currently, like 66%. That's about 5%. I think the nation as a whole said like 62%. So we're like 4.5% better than the nation as a whole. As a pure percentage, obviously we're like 10%, approaching 10% higher in our participation rate than other states in the nation. And I wonder why. Why is Wisconsin, you know, good German work ethic? What is it? And then I realize it's because we've let so many kids off the farm. We've let so much of the talent of Wisconsin bleed away that we're down. You know, we've sort of distilled it down to just those that really, really love this state. Or maybe don't feel like they've got economic or other opportunities, don't know how to get out. Get away. They feel trapped by this state. If you don't have a highway in your county in the state of Wisconsin, I suspect this is the case so much across the nation. But if your county does not have a highway, you don't really have a future. I mean, the progress follows the interstate transportation system, at least in the state of Wisconsin. But if you don't have access, you know, if you're not right off the highway, if you can't get on the exit ramp and hop on an interstate here in the state of Wisconsin, you're more likely to get the hell out of Wisconsin. You're certainly not going to live in northern Wisconsin or in an area where you can't even compete in a modern marketplace. If you can't get the internet in Eau Claire consistently, if a good cell signal, how do you do freaking business there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard people make fun of the folks up north. Oh, it's like getting stuck in the 80s, or they're stuck in the 70s. You know, they're stuck back in time. Well,
they're literally stuck.
They're
in
literally
a free internet, or it's like AOL. It's like dial-up speed.
That doesn't work for anything.
No, not really. Anyways, just thought I'd pontificate a little on a Friday. Wanted to actually talk about the slow rolling comedy sketch. You know, Peter Navarro, the former Trumpster, was he a cabinet-level secretary? He was like the economic advisor to the former president. But Navarro apparently is being mocked after telling the judge he wants to postpone his trial because he's got a big book tour this summer. You remember when he got arrested, Fancy Brand? What was his claim? Now, he told the judge, they wouldn't give me a phone call to call a lawyer. But he showed up in court and said, I don't want a lawyer. And then later he said, I want a lawyer. I'll represent myself. Although he's an economist, not a lawyer. But he was corrected. Apparently he purged himself, literally went to court and lied to the judge. Because the one call he actually wanted was to call the producer of the Mike Huckabee show and tell him, hey, can't be on the big broadcast. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to read a little of this story and have a little fun with you if you join us, 844-967-2789.
The one time I got arrested, I called off of work.
You called work?
I called work.
I think I'd probably call the wife, not so much for bail as just to tell her, I won't be home tonight, baby. Former top White House advisor, conspiracy theorist, and big lie promoter Peter Navarro was arrested earlier this month after being indicted by a grand jury. And he told a federal judge he'll be busy this fall promoting his upcoming book as he rejected several suggested dates and tried to push his trial into next year. I don't have time to be found guilty this year, Your Honor. I got a book tour. Maybe he's got to go earn some money for the legal defense so he can hire a real lawyer. Arraigned at 10 a.m. Eastern time, DeFaro pled not guilty to two counts of contempt of Congress after ignoring a legal subpoena and refusing to cooperate with the House Select Committee on the January 6th attack. Everyone that's fought the legitimacy of this House Select Committee, see Steve Bannon, see Peter DeFaro, they all lose. They might be delaying it, but justice is still coming for all of them. Now, DeFaro repeatedly claimed he would represent himself, but at the last minute hired two attorneys who appeared with him late Friday morning. Politico's Kyle Cheney reports DeFaro's attorney told Federal District Court Judge Amit Mehta, and here's a quote, Fancy, he wants to slow down the trial schedule after Mehta suggested he had availability in August. That's like 2 months from now, September or mid-November. But Navarro's team says Navarro was planning to put a book in September, and he'll be on the road a lot. On the road again. Will he? Wouldn't he have to ask permission of the court?
I don't think so.
Now, federal prosecutors said the Department of Justice has serious concerns about delaying the trial for a book tour. Liz Dye, who writes about law and politics at Above the Law, notes Navarro's book is on the topics he refused to discuss with the committee, citing executive privilege. And we heard some testimony of this sort.
John Bolton did it.
I cannot testify. Well, didn't remember the Eastman? We played some of Eastman's testimony. First, we heard him plead the fifth, right? Eastman is the coup plotter guy. He is an actual lawyer. But Eastman, you know, was only answering selected questions. But Eastman claims, I believe it was January 4th of 2021, that Trump gave him permission to publicly go out, and maybe it was after the January 6th, but gave him permission to talk about it publicly. The, you know, executive privilege stuff. You can go tell Ari Melber, you can tell the media, but you may not testify to the January 6th. So you can see where the confusion for a guy like Navarro, you know, I'm going to put all the testimony in this book, you know, putting myself in the most flattering light and hopefully selling some copies. But I can't actually come and talk to the J6 committee because, you know, you're illegitimate. Unlike me and my self-lowering ass. Navarro and his attorneys tried to push the trial to next April. That's almost a year away, Fancy Brian. Judge Mehta warned Navarro after he improperly emailed the court. In the last 2 days, defendant has twice communicated with the court by emailing the courtroom deputy without copying government counsel. This is not proper. Defendant is not permitted to have an ex parte communication with the court. In other words, if I speak to the court, you also have to let the Department of Justice know what you're saying. You can't go talk to the judge outside of the witness of other counsel. I've been accused of the very same thing. Literally. Small claims court. It was a court commissioner. No big deal. But someone had to make a federal case out of it.
My goodness.
Navarro exited the hearing with a prosecutor behind him holding a sign that reads, "The big lie almost kill a protester, not prosecutor." I don't mean to confuse. So Navarro's leaving, and a guy's holding up a big sign, "The big lie almost killed our democracy." So, you know, that's going to be a little embarrassing. Outside the court, after his hearing in a small press conference, Navarro swung into full promotional mode. You know, got a book to sell, Fancy. Telling reporters the name of his book, and it's on Amazon, by the way.
I wouldn't pull this crap in Brad Schimmel's court.
I mean, they've all tried this. John Bolton didn't testify. Subpoena me, right? But he wrote a book. Bill Barr wrote a book, didn't he? They all wrote a book. Navarro wrote a book. They didn't have the courage. Even if you set out the perhaps criminality of Navarro in this case, and the fact he is being charged, and, you know, this is a federal courtroom that he's appearing in and saying, "Oh, I can't stand trial for my crimes, alleged, because I got a book tour." Can you imagine a black kid walking into the courthouse in Milwaukee, the federal courthouse, and saying, "No, I can't stand trial, Your Honor. got a book tour. I got a concert tour. I'm going on the road. I'll come back, you know, next April maybe. How about we do it then? You think that'd fly down at the courthouse? I'm not sure it's going to fly for Mr. DeVaro either. Come back. Promote nothing other than the greatest radio show ever. Devil's Advocates, you're listening right now. Join us. Your grievances could be next. 844-967-2789.
When people try to sell books, they do all sorts of interesting, exotic things.
We've traced a call. It's coming from inside the house.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use
sausage
it.
Sausage making.
It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Dom's joining soon. You can join us right now. 844-967-2789. Our custom airing of the grievances. Our new customs doing Friday Night Live, live broadcast from the Shaw. That'll happen at 6 o'clock. And in Madison, we're going to replay it starting at 9 o'clock this evening. So if you like a little live rock and roll music on a Friday night, you've tuned into the right place. But the politicking, we're not quite done yet. And, you know, Dom's joining. And, you know, if Jim Santel can get a cell signal, he's going to join as well. But Fancy Brian, I wanted to tell you about what's happening in the great state of Michigan. You know, they got something of a circus of a GOP gubernatorial primary. And the front runner, this Ryan Kelly guy, very similar name. I think he's similarly fancy as well. Well, Ryan Kelly was, what, arrested very recently. The GOP frontrunner, like 20% in a wide field. And let's not forget, all kinds of them had been thrown off the ballot for illegal ballot signatures. But this Ryan Kelly was arrested for participating in the January 6th. And today, or at least very recently, he had to go before the judge because apparently Ryan's got a concealed carry permit. And, you know, what kind of a self-respecting GOP political candidate doesn't conceal carry? You know, because he's got to protect himself and all that kind of stuff. You know, from insurrectionists and coup-surrectionist bastard sorts. Oh, yeah, maybe not those people, but Black Lives Matter people, got to protect yourself from them. A federal judge has denied a request by Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly to possess a firearm while he faces charges related to the J6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Oh, that's a shame. Kelly, who was arrested by the FBI at his Allendale Township home last week, is charged with four misdemeanor counts. Knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building or grounds on the J6, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, and knowingly engaging in any act of physical violence against a person or property in a restricted building or grounds. That seems to be Fancy Brand when you include the physical violence aspect in the charging memo. I got to think that's one of the more substantial charges. Just saying. And willfully injuring or committing any depredation against any property of the United States. Does that mean he was crapping on something?
He may have been this fecal smearer.
I think there are multiple suspects on that.
Do you think he used gloves or was like, nah, I'm good?
Kelly is one of five Republican GOP hopefuls left on the August 2nd ballot, just a week before Wisconsin goes to their partisan primary. August 2nd ballot, after five others were tossed off due to fraudulent petition signature scandal, joining businessman Kevin Rinke, right-wing media personality Tudor Dixon. Rhymes with Tudor Dixon. Chiropractor.
Parents must have loved him.
Tudor.
Our last name is Dixon. What should we name our son?
Let's call him Tudor. And you know his middle name's like Chauncey. Tudor Chauncey Dixon, something of that sort. A chiropractor Garrett Saldano, and Reverend Ralph Rebant. Looks similar to Rembrandt, but, you know, less artistic. The winner of the GOP primary will face Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer on November 8th. Appearing via video in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia Thursday, Kelly's attorney requested that his client, who has a concealed carry permit, be allowed to continue carrying a firearm while campaigning. Can I take a firearm out to the pancake breakfast? You know, I'm going to have to shake some hands and kiss some babies and shoot some people, maybe.
I love handling babies with a firearm. That's really where you know that that's a good politician, because
when you put down that pistola, will you hold and kiss my baby for a photo?
Nope, I'm holding it on my holster.
Can my baby hold the pistol for the photo?
I mean, that's America right there.
Gary Springstead said Kelly, who he referred to as a high-profile candidate, higher all the time, doesn't have campaign security and wanted the weapon in order to protect himself. Well, I don't have campaign security, but I got Fancy Brian.
You have to inspire somebody. You have to inspire somebody enough to hate you enough to kill you. And I don't think Ryan Kelly is inspiring enough people to even vote for him, let alone kill him.
Judge Robin Merriweather sided with the federal prosecutors who objected to Kelly's request, noting that the standard release terms for defendants include a prohibition on firearm possession. Kelly, who's free on bond, must also surrender his passport. Do they think he's a flight risk? Is he going to go perpetrate a coup in a different country?
But I thought he was so famous that such a big profile that he needs to carry protection.
Well, there was a small concession from the judge. Merriweather, in this case, granted a defense request to allow the 40-year-old Kelly to avoid notifying pretrial services while traveling within Michigan. You know, it's going to be a hell of a time if you're on paper and you're running for governor, let's say, and you got to notify the office of, you know, probation and parole every time you, like, travel the state. That's all they do constantly, right? Campaign, collect checks, you know, try to participate in a coup now and again just for kicks and giggles. But he was granted the ability to, you know, travel within the state or cross into another state while traveling from one part of Michigan to another. Does that mean he's permitted to travel across the state of Wisconsin? I mean, if he was up in the UP, right? And he wanted to get to, I don't know, it seems like an inefficient route, but if you're up in somewhere near Duluth, let's say, where Minnesota and the UP of Michigan and Wisconsin all meet, I don't know, man. You had to go to, you know, what's the someplace across the border down near Chicago. Well, it might be a more efficient route across Wisconsin.
Well, all I can tell you is that taking a gun across borders, you know, from Illinois, let's say, to, let's say, the southern border of Wisconsin is apparently okay. So he should be fine.
Well, not for Kelly, who is out on probation, can't bring the gun. Bring the cannolis, can't bring the gun. But here's why I would tell you, Kelly, do not travel across the great state of Wisconsin from north to south. Because when you get the major metros in southern Wisconsin, you're going to get good cell phone service. You're going to be able to, you know, stream some music. Hell, listen to the Devil's Advocates on 540 AM. But up north there, hey, the cell service, it's terrible. You're going to want to avoid it, sir. You're going to want to stay in Michigan. Or perhaps a federal prison where you might, you know, find new accommodations on a day real soon.
I think they have a dedicated internet line there.
At prison? You know, we used to get letters from prison. They used to write us from Waupun. We had a big cheering section down in the cell block C. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Didn't Papadopoulos go to Oxford prison? That was one of the Trumpsters, one of the 34 convicted after the Mueller report. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates. Dom joins next. It's gotta be rock and roll music.
If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.